talking about back to school with Niagara Falls City School Superintendent Mark Laurie, who joins us live in studio. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Oh, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
It's a good looking morning. I know we're starting to turn, you know, it didn't feel like school weather yesterday, but
no, not at all.
We're just about a week away from kids entering the classroom. You know, we just heard right there about transportation, something we've talked with you in the past about, how across the country, bus driver shortages, everything like that. And if I recall right, you didn't deal so much with those problems last year in Niagara Falls as much as we saw in some other districts.
No, we really adjusted more than hired more drivers. And the adjustment was similar to what Buffalo did with the three-bell schedule. We really had a two-bell schedule. Our high school and middle school students were picked up and dropped off at one time, and our elementary school students were dropped off and picked up at one time. It's the only way that we could solve this problem and make sure that kids get home safely. That schedule was an adjustment, not certainly an improvement in the number of drivers we had.
I almost think that the adjustment you made was before other districts started making it. Like, you kind of set the stage on that one.
Well, we had great support from our teachers' union. I have to compliment them. They realized that this was the way that we could solve it. They want kids in their classrooms on time, safely, in and out at an appropriate rate. So we knew we had to do something. It coincided with contract negotiations, which always helped. So making that adjustment early really, I think, helped, and it saved us some headaches. It made things smoother, and it's working well. But the driver shortage that you allude to in your earlier story is real, and it really hasn't improved.
Just one of a number of issues schools have to deal with every single year. School starts and there's something new that pops up, right? Whether it's bus drivers or phones, which we'll get to, of course, in just a little bit here on WBEN. Safety has been one, though, in recent years. It's got a lot of concerns. And I know year by year, you do things a little bit differently, and there's always, it seems, something being added to schools to make them safer.
Right. So we've taken a scaffolded approach to, like as you said, each year doing something more and using our technology more. So I would think that the two most significant changes that we've made going into this school year is that we've added a artificial intelligence film to our cameras. And that artificial intelligence film allows us to detect anything that's happening in the parking lot before someone were to enter schools. For instance, the most heinous thing would be somebody to brandish a weapon. Our cameras will pick that up the minute a person steps out of his or her car and shows 1/8 of an inch of a weapon. That's picked up by artificial intelligence. It's picked up by our camera system. It's reported immediately to the police, to our resource officers, and that will put 15 to 16 seconds in place to prevent a tragedy. So that's probably the biggest addition that we're making to the school year this year. We're using technology to our benefit, and it's pretty amazing technology that it can do that.
That is. And do you have cameras like 360 degrees around the school?
Yes. So we have over 350 outside cameras. That in itself is pretty amazing considering where we were. So at each school, cameras have the pan, tilt, zoom, 360 degree. There is an application. Don't ask me how it works, but it works to use artificial intelligence to identify that possible threat. And it's reported immediately. It also discerns whether that would be a water pistol or something else. There's something in the intelligence that's able to pick it up. And again, it's all to save 16 seconds. And it's all as a result of some of the terrible things that we've seen where these real lunatics, without thinking of a better word to call them, prepare themselves in a parking lot. We want to stop and give our police as much time as possible.
How excited are kids to go back to school, do you notice?
Not as excited as their parents are, I don't think. But, in Niagara Falls, at least, some kids like the routine, the rituals, getting back into a pattern of things. Our kids come during the summer. We have a summer sports recreation camp. We have summer school. They come. They need a break. For sure, we all need a break. But kids quickly adapt, get back in those rituals and routines, and they come. I don't know if they're excited, but it flows pretty smoothly right now, and I know the parents are certainly excited more than anyone.
You know, everybody goes back, it seems like, at a different day. Yeah. When is Niagara Falls going back?
We start on Thursday, September the 5th. I know you're correct. Everybody does come on a different day. Now, our teachers come tomorrow, the 29th. We do 3 days of staff development, giving the staff and everyone a long weekend for Labor Day. And then we come back with kids in earnest on the 5th of September. And it's really a nice way to start because it gives us 2 days at the end of the week to kind of get everybody reacclimated, work out any of the bugs or transitions, especially around busing. That always takes time. And then you've kind of got the weekend to digest what worked, what didn't, what can we fix, and then we hit the ground running for a full week the following Monday.
All right, Mark, you knew it was coming. It's the one thing that we've all been talking about really since the end of last school year. It's picked up steam, certainly in the past couple of months, definitely over the last year, the issue of cell phones. And, you know, it really... Really, it's funny. It gets painted as a school issue. I think right. At its core, the issue is a lot of we've come to the realization that our kids are attached to the screen too much and we need to do something about it. And it just so happens that the school has kind of become the battleground to start this war off.
Yeah, well, I think as humans, we're attached to the screen too much. I think it's, you know, it's universal, but you're right. School's the focal point of it. It is a place where students need to focus on their learning, and it is disruptive. There is no doubt about it. It's disruptive. It is a hindrance to learning, but this has gone so far that bringing it back is going to take a heck of a lot of work, and it is not an easy proposition. Now, I think that the governor pushed it to the forefront with a declaration that she's studying the ban. I personally believe that this is going to get kicked down to the district level to make their own individual decisions. I don't have a problem with that. I don't see the governor issuing a ban, and I don't see the legislator issuing a ban. I think it's going to ultimately get kicked back to the district level.
Do you think a ban would even work?
There's so many implementation issues around a ban and 650 public school districts. The factors that happen at Niagara Falls High School with 2,000 students are so different than the factors that happen in Lindenville that might have a senior class of 75 or a high school of 200 students. So it's so local. It needs so much conversation. And I think to pound your fist and write a ban is going to be very hard to implement.
Now, some people listen to that, though, and say, well, why? All right, we understand that schools are different and kids might, you know, have a lot going on. But at the end of the day, these phones are distracting kids in the classroom, whether it's in a rural town or in a big city. And you rewind 10, 15 years ago, we didn't need the phone in a school at all. So why do we need them now?
Well, it's enforcement that really becomes the tricky issue. With 2,000 students, making sure that everyone has them put away, put in a pouch, doesn't need them to access their jobs, doesn't need them to access maybe some child care if they have children. There's nuances in every school district that become voluminous in a place like Niagara Falls versus a smaller district. Now, do I think that they should be put away? And are we going to work in Niagara Falls to make sure they're put away during instructional time? Absolutely. We've had a very good track record of doing this in grades K to 8. Very good track record of it. What we're working on is making sure the high school has them put away during their instructional periods. I would love to see that go away during passing times in cafeterias, but I think it's something that we incrementally have to talk to parents about, get their feedback and reasons why their kids need to have them. I don't disagree with you, but it's a process and an evolution. And to pound our fist and say they're all going away in one fall swoop is going to cause, I think, more discipline issues and more problems than we could initially handle. So it's going to have to be procedural. It's going to have to be worked in. And again, I'm speaking for a school that has 2,000 students. So we're working towards it. We want them put away. Instruction has got to be sacred.
There's an argument that's made by Jonathan Haidt, who wrote this book, The Anxious Generation.
Yes.
A researcher. He's kicked off a lot of this discussion a few months ago with his book and the interviews he's done. And his argument for an outright ban, because there's this back and forth. Is it banned in the classroom or is it banned altogether in schools? And what he says is that you can't just say in the classroom, because then in the classroom, the kids are all thinking about what's on their phone the second they get out of the classroom and in the hallway. Would you agree with that? Or is it a matter of like maybe slowly implementing this, you know, step by step?
Yeah, I completely agree with that statement because our phones have rewired our brains. And it's not just students, it's adults too. I know I have to catch myself from time to time not looking at an email or a text while we're conducting this interview, so say. But I do agree with that. I think it's got to be a slow, steady conversation to move towards that complete ban with reasons why, hearing people out, and also getting them to understand why this time has to be more sacred. Now, that's 6 hours during school. There are 18 other hours when the mental health issue comes into play, when a student leaves school and it's still impacting them. So it's a very complex issue. It's easy to sit here and say, get rid of them, ban them, do that. When you're in the trenches, it's a lot different.
Would it be easier now to focus on the younger kids, the elementary grades, rather than high school?
I think we've done a really good job, at least in Niagara Falls. And as I hear my colleagues across Western New York, K through 8 is really a much more manageable area. I watched our middle schools handle this last year. They did an expert job at it. We had very few complaints. They had parent forums. They listened to parents and listened to each one of their arguments and had a counter argument for why. It just takes information. It just takes a lot of conversation. And you know, whenever you come down and I keep saying it, put your fist down and say, this is it, done, over, after so much time, it doesn't work well. So we're going to try to do that with our high school students in Niagara Falls. We want them to, we want to get to a certain point. It has to be, as you were referring to, procedural, and we have to answer a lot of questions. You know, and I want to ask the question, if you need them so much, do your parents or do you know where your kids are on the internet at all times? Because I'd like to see parents have to check where their children are at 8 o'clock at night or 12 o'clock at night. That is incongruent to me, so to speak.
We're live in studio this morning with Mark Lorry, superintendent of Niagara Falls City Schools. We've just been talking about possible cell phone ban, possibly being left up to school districts. Mm-hmm. Governor Hochul still deciding on that one. When it comes to cell phones, though, the last point you were making was, you know, do parents know where their kids are on their phones, not just physically, but what they're doing, where they are on the internet? How much of an issue is that in school today with bullying and everything else that kids are dealing with?
Yeah, it's a huge issue. Passing notes, passing comments, it occurs, but nowhere near when maybe we were in school. Most of our issues revolve around something that was on the phone or social media. So it just multiplies the complexity of what we're doing with discipline. And it may have happened the night before. Many times it happened the night before. So we're dealing with kids coming into school maybe angry or maybe set off by something that's happened. So stopping the issue in school is only part of it. It's parents, I buy the argument that parents need to have access to their kids. But I also argue back that you need to know where your kids are at all times, at least while they're a student. And again, that doesn't mean you have to be in their bedroom or on their computer watching every minute. But there should be some periodic checks. There should be some conversation around this. So I'll buy the argument that, you know, you need access. But I also think you need some responsibility at off times as well.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned students with jobs before.
Yes.
And in Lackawanna, they've enacted a ban on cell phones for this upcoming school year. And we were talking with some of the students there. They did an open house on the issue a couple of weeks ago. And we heard from one who said, hey, listen, you know, I have a job and sometimes shifts get dropped and I like to have my phone on me. And, you know, then I could see, hey, maybe I can go and work after school and do that. And it's funny because you hear that And some people will have the reaction of, hey, you know, there's a hardworking kid. You know, why are we stopping him from going to work?
Yeah.
And then other people will say, well, it doesn't matter. Your job is supposed to be in the classroom. You should be focusing on school.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tough, you know, situation to look at. Yeah. What do you think?
It's a tough argument. In Niagara Falls, our students do need to work. We like them to work. They do need that. Many of our students help support their families with their work. Now, you know, in a perfect world, maybe years ago that didn't happen. But the reality is, our kids need to go to work. Our kids have jobs. They're not careers, but they're jobs, and they need that access. And that is one of a couple of arguments that students bring forth. We have to listen to student voices, and that your point is a real one. We do have students who have children, and they want to know how their children are doing too. Now, that comes into play as well. We've also had students very bluntly say, and just telling you the truth, that, you know, I'm not going to come to school unless I can have the comfort and safety of my phone. Now, there's a long conversation around that, but we hear that from kids. It's become a safety net for them, or a safety blanket. We may not like it, but it's the reality that kids are living with.
Yeah, genie's already out of the bottle, right?
It is.
So it's hard to stuff it back.
Yeah, it is.
The locking of phones in pouches, like Lackawanna is
right.
doing. What do you think of that?
I think it's a step in the right direction. I think it needs to get that far. We ask our kids in 9th and 10th grade to put their phones in a pouch before the class starts, so there is no temptation to put it under your chair or by your chair or to sneak it under a book or something. I think that goes toward the complete ban of phones all day. If you lock it in a pouch, I know some districts let them take their pouches home. When you have 2,000 students, getting all those pouches back is probably not going to happen. You know, that's why it has to be a local decision. It's got to work for your school. That's why my prediction is that the governor will kick it to the legislator, who will kick it back to the schools. And that's why I think it's the right way to approach it, because what's going to work in Niagara Falls may not work in Lackawanna. So I think it's great that we've called this to attention. We're very sensitive to it. We're going to make a very strong, concerted effort as we reset and start this year, but it's complex.
One more on the phone issue.
Sure.
Before we move on to other things later this hour. Is this another aspect, and I'm wondering if it, you know, makes you mad a little bit, where schools are kind of put in the position to make up for things that parents aren't doing? Because all these conversations that we're having, you know, ideally, I think a lot of people say, well, hang on a second. It's a parent's job.
Yeah.
It's a parent's job to not give an iPhone to a five-year-old. Or it's a parent's job to let their children know that when you're here, you're not supposed to be on your phone. It's called common courtesy, and, you know, or at least it used to be. Do you feel that, you know, schools are right now kind of being put in an unfair place to kind of pick up the slack, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, it's a fact. It's reality. Schools are asked to do more and more and more and more. And I think that, you know, we don't have complete parent support. We'll never have complete parent support on this issue. We try to work around the edges of what their concerns are. We're asked to be parents in many cases. We're asked to do beyond what we've ever had to do before. We haven't been able to abandon a lot of things, which takes away from instructional time. So yeah, I do agree with that, Brian, that, you know, schools have replaced parenting, and we could, again, pound our fist and say that's wrong, but we've got to deal with what we have, and that's where we're at. And as Susan said, the toothpaste is out of the tube, whatever phrase you're going to use, it is what it is. So we're going to have to deal with that. We accept that as our role as public educators. We just have to be two steps ahead of it. We have to understand what we're walking into, and we have to be prepared for it, and we have to mitigate those situations the best we can so that we can deliver curriculum and instruction in the safest manner possible.
Mark Laurie, Niagara Falls City School Superintendent, with us in studio this morning here on WBEN. We've been talking about a lot of things this morning, but I want to bring this up. Schools that have already gone back in the Midwest are
right.
closing already because of extreme heat. It was 90 degrees here. Yesterday, a lot of people were saying, good thing, you know, kids weren't back in school. There's a hot classroom bill that's going through New York State right now. It's just a bill at the moment, but it would close schools when they get to a certain temperature. What's being done to air condition more schools around here?
Well, the building aid to provide air conditioning in schools exists in New York State, which is good. In Niagara Falls, we will be complete in May with air conditioning of all of our schools. So that should give us some relief from that bill. I know it is a very, very difficult call to make on the heat, and it's very uncomfortable for teachers and staff and students. I think it's one of the reasons we start September 5th, too, because the hope is we'll get past the heat of the summer. But May and June have been very, very warm. We're excited that by May of next year, we'll have air conditioning running in all our locations. But I do feel for those school districts that don't have that. But just in a chat among Niagara and Orleans superintendents this week, we did a survey, and many of those superintendents have plans to have a capital project to add air.
You know, I was saying last week when I saw, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago, and this bill began to make the rounds again as schools getting right, you know, why doesn't every school have some sort of air conditioning? You know, if we're talking about canceling classes, that should be like, hello, red alert, put an AC unit in there.
Yeah, it's expensive.
As a lot of people point out, it's not quite as easy and not just as expensive as like a window unit in each classroom.
Correct. It's expensive. Buildings are old. Buildings were constructed at a time when air conditioning wasn't even a thought in schools. So it's very costly. And what we're finding, our biggest challenge in Niagara Falls was supply chain issues. We have everything in place. We had to wait 60 weeks for all of the electrical parts. So we will be hopefully next March receiving all the electrical parts to be installed over those 2 months to hit the ground running in May. So supply chain and parts availability also came into play in our installation of electricity. So it's complex, just like everything we've talked about. It's complex.
What about electric buses? I know there's the push to bring them into school districts across the state. Where does that stand? Do you have any right now?
We in Niagara Falls don't have any. We're making plans because we are required to report annually the progress that we've made on electric buses. But as I just mentioned, I have concerns in two areas with electric buses, and I certainly support the environment and understand the good reasons for it. But the two concerns I have is the timeline is far too aggressive. It's far too aggressive of a timeline. That's number one. And secondly, as I just articulated with air conditioning, getting parts, getting transformers, electrifying the infrastructure to provide that electricity to buses. If it's taking us 60 weeks to get parts for air conditioning, I can't imagine what the timeline would be for a school district that supports Buffalo or Niagara Falls to begin that electrification just in parts, installation, design alone. So I really think, and there's been bills in state government to slow it down. There are incentives at the federal level. Of course, that's probably tied in a bit to the election that's coming up. So it's really something that we're trying to move slowly and cautiously out of Niagara Falls.
Well, it's kind of another wrench being thrown in schools. It seems like every year you're faced with a new challenge. What is it, the electric bus one that keeps you up at night? What else is on the horizon for coming years?
Well, also the governor has enacted or has empowered an organization to study school financing. And they are supposed to give their report. This is the Rockefeller Institute. They're supposed to give their report to the governor on December 1st. We have testified in front of the Rockefeller Center saying that, again, I think that timeline is far too fast. The foundation aid formula is beginning to keep me a little bit up at night because our school district relies on school foundation aid formula. I think having this done by December is far too quick. It is a 17-year, very complex formula that needs a lot of study, needs a lot of revision. but December is far too quick. So again, we'll be talking soon about school financing. Just wait, and that's going to come up. That's a concern, probably a little bit more than the electrification of buses, because it's the lifeblood, especially in a district like Niagara Falls, that really relies on state funding for their support and how we're going to roll into next year. So I think that's probably the biggest issue that I have.
Wow. Bringing you back to technology, we started the hour talking about technology, but cyber thieves targeting school districts. We know it happens a lot.
In Niagara Falls, we call it phishing. In Niagara Falls, we are phished every single day. It's hard to believe that people have that much time to try to disrupt a school district.
Mark Laurie, Niagara Falls City School Superintendent, with us in studio this morning here on WBEN. We've been talking about a lot of things this morning, but I want to bring this up. Schools that have already gone back in the Midwest are closing already because of extreme heat. It was 90 degrees here yesterday. A lot of people were saying, good thing, you know, kids weren't back in school. There's a hot classroom bill that's going through New York State right now. It's just a bill at the moment, but it would close schools when they get to a certain temperature. What's being done to air condition more schools around here?
Well, the building aid to provide air conditioning in schools exists in New York State, which is good. In Niagara Falls, we will be complete in May with air conditioning of all of our schools. So that should give us some relief from that bill. I know it is a very, very difficult call to make on the heat, and it's very uncomfortable for teachers and staff and students. I think it's one of the reasons we start September 5th, too, because the hope is we'll get past the heat of the summer. But May and June have been very, very warm. We're excited that by May of next year, we'll have air conditioning running in all our locations. But I do feel for those school districts that don't have that. But just in a chat among Niagara and Orleans superintendents this week, we did a survey, and many of those superintendents have plans to have a capital project to add air.
You know, I was saying last week when I saw, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago, and this bill began to make the rounds again as schools getting right, you know, why doesn't every school have some sort of air conditioning? You know, if we're talking about canceling classes, that should be like, hello, hello, red alert, put an AC unit in there.
Yeah, it's expensive.
A lot of people point out it's not quite as easy and not just as expensive as like a window unit in each classroom.
Correct. It's expensive. Buildings are old. Buildings were constructed at a time when air conditioning wasn't even a thought in schools. So it's very costly. And what we're finding, our biggest challenge in Niagara Falls was supply chain issues. We have everything in place. We had to wait 60 weeks for all of the electrical parts. So we will be hopefully next March receiving all the electrical parts to be installed over those 2 months to hit the ground running in May. So supply chain and parts availability also came into play in our installation of electricity. So it's complex, just like everything we've talked about. It's complex.
What about electric buses? I know there's the push to bring them into school districts across the state. Where does that stand? Do you have any right now?
We in Niagara Falls don't have any. We're making plans because we are required to report annually the progress that we've made on electric buses. But as I just mentioned, I have concerns in two areas with electric buses, and I certainly support the environment and understand the good reasons for it. But the two concerns I have is the timeline is far too aggressive. It's far too aggressive of a timeline. That's number one. And secondly, as I just articulated with air conditioning, getting parts, getting transformers, electrifying the infrastructure to provide that electricity to buses, if it's taking us 60 weeks to get parts for air conditioning, I can't imagine what the timeline would be for a school district that supports Buffalo or Niagara Falls to begin that electrification, just in parts, installation, design alone. So I really think, and there's been bills in state government to slow it down. There are incentives at the federal level. Of course, that's probably tied in a bit to the election that's coming up. So it's really something that we're trying to move slowly and cautiously out of Niagara Falls.
Well, it's kind of another wrench being thrown in schools. It seems like every year you're faced with a new challenge. What is it, the electric bus one that keeps you up at night? What else is on the horizon for coming years?
Well, also the governor has enacted or has empowered an organization to study school financing. And they are supposed to give their report. This is the Rockefeller Institute. They're supposed to give their report to the governor on December 1st. We have testified in front of the Rockefeller Center saying that, again, I think that timeline is far too fast. The foundation aid formula is beginning to keep me a little bit up at night because our school district relies on school foundation aid formula. I think having this done by December is far too quick. It is a 17-year, very complex formula that needs a lot of study, needs a lot of revision, but December is far too quick. So, again, we'll be talking soon about school financing. Just wait, and that's going to come up. That's a concern, probably a little bit more than the electrification of buses, because it's the lifeblood, especially in a district like Niagara Falls, that really relies on state funding for their support and how we're going to roll into next year. So I think that's probably the biggest issue that I have.
Wow. Bringing you back to technology, we started the hour talking about technology, but cyber thieves targeting school districts. We know it happens a lot.
In Niagara Falls, we call it phishing. In Niagara Falls, we are phished every single day. It's hard to believe that people have that much time to try to disrupt a school district, a hospital, a college. But Niagara Falls receives a phishing attempt every day. We've been able to thwart all of them. We've spent, again, why do the teachers come in early? Because we're doing a whole training on how to stop cyber attacks. That's become part not only the drills that we do for safety, but we're also doing a drill for how do we stop cyber attacks. So the complexity, the technology, is incredible. That's what we're doing in our first 3 days of staff development. But we get phished every day. It's amazing.
You want my tidbit information?
Sure.
This is how I stop I tell everyone, all the bosses here, there's a reason I don't open any of your emails. We are staying safe as a company. I will not be phished online, so I'm just not going to open a reply.
It happens to me. I get requests for Apple gift cards and different things, and I simply forward them to our information services director, and he does a clearinghouse of them. And we just tell people, do not give out personally identifiable or school district identifiable information at all. It's tough for me to do that, Brian, because I'm the one that has to. I usually send a lot of those emails, you know, and I'm hoping that some of our employees look
open
at something
them.
That I write.
Yeah, every once in a while. Well, hey, Mark, it's been great having you in studio.
I appreciate your time. Thank you for allowing us to have a forum on school issues.
No, absolutely. Thank you. And again, good luck.
Thanks.
Return to school.
Great
coming
to have
up
you
very soon.
In studio for a change, too.
I'm happy to come anytime.
Yeah, Mark Lurie is the superintendent of Niagara Falls City School District, joining us live here on WBEN.